I don't know, it's our third or fourth, something like that, in the series Halacha and Healthcare Settings. And just to note, I think I mentioned it also in the email that I sent out with the story sheet in advance. Next week, we're not here. Next week is just Zoom, and it's one of the special sessions. It's Halachic Dimensions of Dementia. So that will be one of the special sessions, not one of the regular ones. But you're all welcome, certainly, to participate. It's the same Zoom, so you don't need to learn a new address or anything. Putting the link in the chat one more time.
I thought this was about dementia.
No, that's next week's.
Oh.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to hang out, but next week's is the dementia one. Yeah.
Next week, but you're not going to be here next week.
I will be here.
Oh, but it'll be on Zoom.
Yes, correct.
Okay, well, I chose this session because there was a competing one.
Oh.
And so I...
Sorry, okay, that's next week.
I will see you over the...
Okay. So last time, we started on the question of what happens if you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and then someone comes to you with a medical issue, and you pause to take care of the medical issue. Now what do you do? Do you go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei? Do you pick up where you left off? What are the rules? And we saw two passages. Well, we saw a Gemara, and we saw a comment from Tosfos. We saw the Gemara in Brachos, in which we said that everybody agrees that if you stop davening long enough to finish Shmona Esrei, then you go back to the beginning. Not talking about medical, just generally. You're in Shmona Esrei, you stop Shmona Esrei long enough to finish Shmona Esrei, then you go back to the beginning. And what we said was it's not actually finishing Shmona Esrei. Enough time that your average person would be able to say all of Shmona Esrei, which may depend on your community, may depend on whether it's the early minyan or the late minyan. Nonetheless, in the event that it wasn't long enough to say Shmona Esrei, then there's a machlokes, then we have a debate. And it depends on whether I view the initial, well, in the case there, they're talking about somebody who needed to use the bathroom. So do I view the initial davening that the person did as inappropriate because they needed the bathroom and therefore it's really canceled out? So Tosfos there on that Gemara said, we don't understand how it is that you can tell me that if I wait too long, I have to go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei, when it comes to the laws of Rosh Hashanah, we say that if you hear 9 shofar blasts over the course of the day, then you're Yotze. How is it that I could hear 9 shofar blasts over the course of the day with what is clearly a major interruption in between, long enough to have blown all the shofar blasts, and yet I could be Yotze? So Tosfos introduced us to an interesting distinction. The distinction is between somebody who paused, who could have actually done it the whole time. In other words, they paused, but they could have stopped their break at any point and kept on going. So the person who paused in shofar theoretically could have heard the shofar at that point. It's just that the shofar wasn't around, so they didn't hear it. But there was nothing halachically preventing them from hearing shofar all along. Versus the person who was davening, who needed to use the washroom, and that person couldn't actually daven during that pause. And so what Tosfos suggested is that in the event that the reason for the pause is because you're ineligible, then you have to go back to the beginning. But if the reason for the pause is something extraneous, then you would not have to go back to the beginning. So the argument now regarding the doctor is, you are physically eligible to continue Shmona Esrei, you just stopped in order to, help this person out. So maybe it's not a full interruption. That was where we left off, right? Clear? Okay. So in practice, the truth of the matter is that when it comes to Shmona Esrei, as opposed to Shema, we don't distinguish between the reasons why you stopped. And that's based on a comment from the Rif, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi. If you're looking at the source sheet, I think a couple of people joined online, so I will just put the link in the chat again for the source sheet. If you look at the first source on the source sheet, this is from the Rif. The Rif, remember, major halachic authority. We're talking 11th century Morocco. Right? We had a class about him a few Wednesday nights ago. So the Rif writes, he quotes first the Braisa from the Gemara in Brachos. Tanya, lo yahalech ada b'mavos hametunafos v'yoniach yado al piv v'yikra kriya shema. You are not supposed to recite shema while walking through a dirty place, a place with sewage in it. You say, well, I'll put my hand over my mouth and I'll say Shema. I don't smell anything. Or whatever. No, that doesn't work. V'lo od, and not only that, Elashim haya korei uba, but if he was reading Shema and he entered this space, posek, he has to stop. Not only do you not start, but you also don't continue Shema in such a space. So he comments on that and he says, Ukshu chozer, when you go back in Shema. Once you've finished in the alleyway, now you want to resume saying Shema, Choser lemakom shepasak. You go back to this place where you left off. Ve'af al pish sheshaha kedei ligmor es kula. Even though your pause was long enough that you could have said Shema in entirety, nonetheless you can resume where you left off. So unlike what we said for Shemona Esrei, when it comes to Shema, doesn't matter how long you had the break. So the Rif says, V'achein maskana b'sof meseches Rosh Hashanah, that is the conclusion at the end of meseches Rosh Hashanah. V'achein b'tkios, and the same thing is true as we've said for shofar. You can pause, go back, pause, go back, pause, go back. V'achein b'halel, the same thing is true regarding halel, meaning a person is saying halel and they have to stop for whatever reason. V'achein b'megillah, the same thing is true for Megillas Esther. Aval betfila bilachud, but Shmona Esrei alone. Im shahak de ligmor es kula chozer l'rosh. If you had that long pause, you go back to the beginning. Shmona Esrei is not like these other mitzvos that one performs. Why would we distinguish between Shmona Esrei and these other cases? What's the logic?
I would think just the opposite logic.
You would have thought the opposite.
And Rav Atola, be careful. Mm. Therefore, you know.
Right.
So go back instead of making a number of brachas now. But
right. So Dr. Block makes the point that just the opposite with Shmona Esrei, if you're going back unnecessarily, you're saying brachos in vain. So clearly we must really believe it is necessary for you to go back for Shmona Esrei, unlike with these others. So what's that about? So on the Rif in Meseches Brachos, we have a commentary from the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, the students of Rabbeinu Yonah. And in source Beis, I brought you their explanation, which isn't really theirs. It's based on Rav Hai Gaon. V'kasav Rabbeinu Hai. Okay, Rabbeinu Hai, Rav Hai Gaon, taught the following. Sheim shaha kedei ligmor es kula, chozer l'rosh. If you waited long enough to finish the entire thing, to say all of Shmona Esrei, you go back to the beginning. Ve'af agav d'amrinan b'halal of Megillah im shag de'ligmor es kula chozer l'makom shepasak. Even though when it comes to Halel or Megillas Esther, if you had a long break, it doesn't matter, right? The kids are banging for Haman, and it's long enough that you could have done all of Megillas Esther during that pause. It doesn't matter. You go back to where you stopped. Sha'ani tefila dechamira tfei. The reason why it's different is because Shmona Esrei is different, because Shmona Esrei is more serious than these other forms of davening. What do you mean? Sha'afilu ha-melech sho'el b'shlomo lo yeshivenu. Even if the king comes along and greets you and asks how you're doing, you don't stop. We're not supposed to interrupt Shmona Esrei. Since we are so strict about not interrupting Shmona Esrei, your pause constitutes an interruption. Now you have to go back to the beginning. These other mitzvahs don't rise to the level of Shmona Esrei.
Shema doesn't.
Shema, even Shema. Even though Shema is biblical, and Shmona Esrei is rabbinic.
In the middle of Shema, you can't answer either.
So there are rules about what I can answer in Shema, depending on between paragraphs, within the paragraph. There are options for pausing during Shema, unlike with Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei, you're never, ever, ever. I mean, I say you're never, ever, even though that's not true. Number one, we already said, for medical care of somebody whose life is in danger, you obviously do interrupt. But not just that. We'll see other cases where we do, in fact, interrupt.
So Shaila would say,
nonetheless,
you're allowed to go over to a rabbi and ask him the question.
Right, but there it's
go
because...
Go to a safer and look in the safer and see what the answer
correct.
Is.
Correct.
The safer is not the
answer. Right, I mean, that's for the sake of Shmona Esrei.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah. Because in Shmona Esrei, you have your own made with Hashem.
Yeah.
As opposed to just reciting.
Correct.
So it has to be one activity in the order of Hashem. If it's there's too big of a break, that wouldn't be considered the same activity.
Correct. Shmona Esrei, that's true. Shmona Esrei, you are standing before God, and therefore the rules for breaking away from that are a lot stricter than for any other experience, any other religious activity that a person is engaged in. And so, yeah, once you broke that, you got to go back to the beginning. You can't just resume from there. That's the principle. Clear?
I would have suspected, predicted otherwise.
Yeah.
Shmona Esrei is 18 brachot, which theoretically could be considered 18 separate brachot.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we put them together as a unit, you said four of them. Good. Now starting
right.
with number five. Shema is, well, Shema is three different prakim, but it's still one. Megillah is one Megillah. You would think that if you interrupted, you didn't read the Megillah.
Right. I mean, Shema really is separate paragraphs. I mean, they really are distinct units. But I think this speaks to the fact that we view the religious experience of Shmona Esrei as atomic, even though there are ways in which it's not. So as an example, the opening three brachos are a unit. So if I mess up with Mashiach Baruch Hamorid HaGeshem, right? And I realize I made a mistake. I don't get to go back with it. Afterwards, I get to go back to within it. I have to go back all the way to the beginning. There are ways in which the first three brachos are a unit, whereas the middle brachos are considered distinct in certain ways. So if a person made a mistake with the Sein Talomatar and he realized a few brachos later, he can go back just to Borech Aleinu. He doesn't go back to the beginning of that unit. Nonetheless, the religious experience is a single religious experience, and yes, that in fact is the rule. If you take a look on the sheet, I referenced the Nishmas Avram for you. Those who are on the list, the email list for the class, so you have the link for the Nishmas Avram in the email that I sent out. So what you want is page 141 of the PDF, Nishmas Avram. It's Orach Chaim Kuf Dalid, Sif Beis. 104.2. And specifically, the word that it starts with is Nikra. So I'm just grabbing it out of my own. Yeah. Nikra Lachola Be'emtza Tfila. You're called to the patient in the middle of davening. You see it? Okay. So ma'adin berofe o kol adam acher. What's the status of a doctor or anybody else for that matter? Shebe'emtza shmona esrei nikra latapil b'chola sheyesh bo sakana o chashash sakana, who is called away during the middle of shmona esrei to care for somebody who is dangerously ill or might be dangerously ill. He has a parenthetical reference to a completely separate discussion about carrying a cell phone on Shabbos because you might get called for such a thing. It's an interesting discussion, but completely separate. V'shah b'tipulo k'de ligmor es kol ha'shmona esrei, and then the time it took you to take care of the situation was long enough that you could have finished all of shmona esrei. Ha'im chayev lachzor l'rosh tfilaso olo. Does he have to go back to the beginning or not? So he says, Kosev HaMishneh Berurah B'Shem HaMagen Avram. The Mishneh Berurah quotes the Magen Avram, as well as Elio Rabbah, as well as Prima Gadim, and so on. Derchei Chaim, Chayei Adam, Shehichriyu DeBetfila Kol Ones Mikri Ones. He says, when it comes to Shmona Esrei, the consensus of all of these halachic authorities he just enumerated is, when it comes to Shmona Esrei, when we use the word tefila without defining further, we mean Shmona Esrei, any case of Ones is called Ones. Any case in which you are compelled to stop, we don't distinguish, like we said in the beginning, of, well, stopping because you were in a circumstance where you couldn't daven, stopping because of something external, doesn't make a difference. Bein shabami bachutz, whether the cause is some external factor, kagon shapasak machmas listim v'chi agavna, such as you stop because there were bandits, ubein shapasak machmas shu atzmo lo haya roi letfilo, or if you stop because you yourself were not fit to pray, because of a washroom issue. Osha makom lohaya roi, the place you were in was not suited. V'chayev lachzor l'rosh, doesn't make a difference. You have to go back to the beginning. Impasa k'dei ligmor es kula, assuming you stopped long enough to do the entire thing. V'afilu b'shesika, and even if you did not talk, even if you paused in silence, which is where I'm going next.
So,
yeah.
What does pause mean in general? Pause means you're just quiet, or pause means
so that's exactly our next question. So what if the person was silent, they gestured to people, but they didn't actually speak? right? That happens all the time, right? For one reason or another. So what's the story there? So we have two different lines in the Shulchan Aruch which give different indications. I brought it on the sheet. If you take a look at Source Dalet, Source Dalet on the sheet describes somebody who's davening Shmona Esrei. Haya omed bitfila, you're davening Shmona Esrei, vehishtin tinok bebeis hakneses, and some kid urinates in shul. Yishtok, so you have to be silent, ad sheyaviyu mayim lahatil al hamei raglayim, while they bring water to dilute the mess. O yahalech lefan of arba amos, o litzdadav, or you walk ahead four amos, so that you will no longer be in proximity to this, or you're off to the side. O yetei beisakneses, or you leave shul altogether, v'yigmur tfilaso, and you finish Shmona Esrei. That's what he says. So it sounds like from there, you wait in silence, and then you go on. He doesn't say anything about how long you waited. He doesn't say anything about going back to the beginning. He just says you pause, wait for it to be taken care of, or move to some other space, and apparently keep on going from where you were. Clear? Right? Look at the next quote. Source Hay. Also talking about Shmona Esrei. B'chol makom sheposek, in any case in which you stop. Imshaha kidei ligmor eskula, if you wait long enough to finish the entire Shmona Esrei, chozer larosh, you go back to the beginning. V'im lav, and if it wasn't long enough to finish all of Shmona Esrei, chozer tchilas habracha sheposak ba, you go back to the beginning of the bracha in which you halted. V'im pasak begimel rishonos, and if you stopped within the first three brachos, like we said, they're a unit, chozer larosh, then you have to go back to the beginning. V'im ba'achronos, and if you pause during the last three brachos, chozer l'ritzei, then you go back to ritzei, because again, that's the last three brachos are also a unit. So now I don't understand. I have one line in Shulchan Aruch where he makes no mention of going back to the beginning. And I have another line where he does talk about if you waited too long going back to the beginning. So the Nishmas Avram brings attempts to resolve this from the Kaf HaChayim, where we left off in that Nishmas Avram, where he says, Ah, HaKaf HaChayim. So the Kaf HaChayim was a major halachic authority, one of the major Sephardi poskim. I've heard people compare him to the Mishnah Berurah, even though they're different styles, they're whatever. But in terms of being a late authority on the Shulchan Aruch, he's 19th century, who weighs in, line by line of the Shulchan Aruch. So yeah, that's the Kaf HaChayim. So the Kaf HaChayim, he brings you different views. Maybe Shalosh Shitos Bedavar Barishonim. He brings three different views in the Rishonim. I wasn't quite clear how he ended up with three. I thought that was actually not necessarily correct, but it doesn't matter for our purposes. Umevi Kushyas HaAchronim Al Maran. He brought the question of the Achronim, the later authorities, against the Shulchan Aruch. Shalach Ora Yesh Stira B'Divrei Maran. There seems to be a contradiction, like we just pointed out, in the words of the Shulchan Aruch. Bein Sim and Sadi Sif Chav Zayin, from what we saw in Source Dalid, Vikan, and what he says here, which is what we saw in Source Hay. Vikosev, and he wrote, the Yesha Tirtsu, some answered, Shadas Maran L'Chalek, that the Shulchan Aruch wants to draw a distinction. De'im HaShehiyah Haisa Al Yedei Havsaka B'Dibur, Chozer L'Rosh. If you spoke, that's when you go back to the beginning. That's where he's talking about going back to the beginning. Avalam Haisa B'Shesika Levad, but if you were just quiet, Eino Chozer, then you don't go back to the beginning. V'chein Yesh Livsok Ledina, and that is the psak that the Kaf HaChayim brings. So he makes a distinction. If you manage to do it while maintaining silence, then you don't need to go back to the beginning. It's only in the event that you actually talked. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Ulam, however, that's the Kaf HaChayim. Ulam Ra'isi b'Ben Ishchai. I saw the Ben Ishchai, Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. This is very convenient. We still have our Sephardic month going, that we can do this, the Kaf HaChayim and the Ben Ishchai. The Shikosei b'Pashtus, he wrote simply, Im hifsik tfilaso machmas ones v'shaha, if a person paused his davening because of some situation that came up, and he paused, v'shaha k'dei ligmor es kol tfilaso meiroshavad sofa, long enough to say all the Shmona Esrei beginning to end, hareza chozer l'rosh, Umisharan lafiyam mispalel. You go back to the beginning, and it's based on this person who's davening and how long their Shmona Esrei is. I didn't really address the question of whose Shmona Esrei we're gauging by. Is it communal or personal? But the Ben Ish Chai's position is to say, you go back to the beginning, v'lo hivdil bein pasak b'shastiko b'dibor. He did not draw any distinction between whether you stopped in silence or whether you actually spoke. He didn't make any distinction at all, the Ben Ish Chai. And so wrote the Mishnah Berurah. Afilu rak shesika ba'alma, even if it's just silence, b'li dibor, without speech, afilu rak bein bracha lebracha, and even the middle of the bracha doesn't make a difference, you go back to the beginning. So the position, the Nishmas Avram notes, is that the Kav HaChayim says if you're silent, you don't go back to the beginning. But Ben Ish Chai disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. So we're going to have to figure that out. But I want to go back to a point that Dr. Block made before, talking about Shmona Esrei. If you go back inappropriately, that's not a good thing. Because now you're saying a whole bunch of brachos that you didn't need to say. And the Nishmas Avram brings a point from Rav Avadya Yosef on this issue. Normally, when it comes to brachos, we have a principle. Safek brachos lahakel. You're not sure whether you need to say a bracha. We are lenient. What does lenient mean? Sorry? Don't say it. Correct. Don't say it. That's what lenient means. It means don't say the bracha. Not lenient in the sense of, hey, go ahead and say it. No. Lenient means you don't make the bracha. Right? There may be certain exceptions to that rule, but that's your general principle. So what's your suffix brachos lahakel here? The guy stopped Shmona Esrei in order to take care of somebody who collapsed in shul, right? His period to repeat Shmona Esrei, let's say, would be 4 minutes. I'm making it up, but let's say it's 4 minutes. So he managed to take care of the patient without talking in 3 minutes. Does he resume where he was? Does he go back to the beginning? Safek brachos lahakel means what? Does it mean resume where you are? So you don't say the previous brachos? But what if you were really supposed to go back to the beginning? Then all these brachos that you say now are inappropriate. Which way is your lahakel? That's the problem. So that's what you see in the Nishmas Avram in the next line. He says, Vilich ora halo yesh klal the suffix brachos lahakel v'afilu neged maran. He says, the general principle is, if you're not sure when it comes to brachos, you go leniently, even against the Shulchan Aruch. Ukefisha kosev ha-Kav HaChaim. In fact, the Kav HaChaim says so. Ach, kosev harishon l'tzion hagon Rav Avadya Yosef shlita. He says, Rav Avadya Yosef says, no. Dibetfila ein lo markein. You can't say safek brachos lahakel when it comes to Shmona Esrei. Kimavur behedya b'Yerushalmi. He references a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is a great Yerushalmi, but I didn't bring it on here because I just wanted to get through this topic. But it's actually a fascinating line, the Yerushalmi in its own right. But he says, "Shayim yachzor lemakom shepasak." If you just resume where you left off, lemaranzal, according to the Shulchan Aruch, kol mashem avarich brachos levatalahein. All the brachos that you make are now in vain. If he should have gone back to the beginning, and he's not, he's going from the middle, he is making brachos in vain. And therefore he says, since the Rif and the Rambam that we saw said, if you pause in Shmona Esrei, it doesn't matter why you paused, whether it was because of an external factor or your own ineligibility. If you pause in Shmona Esrei, we go back to the beginning. Vafilu shah b'shtika, even if you were silent, because we saw the Rif, he did not make any distinction. Hachi naktina ledina, that's the halacha. She'ein safek shezoi gamkein das maran, he says that's for sure what Rav Yosef Karo meant. V'ikar, that's the essence. And if you spoke, then for sure you go back to the beginning. So the upshot of the discussion, and then I'll take questions and comments on it, is if you waited long enough to say all of Shmona Esrei, you go back to the beginning. Whether you were silent or not, whether you were taking a patient or you interrupted for some other reason, doesn't make a difference. You go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei.
What about the brachos, like if you in fact didn't have to go back, what about all those brachos that you said at the beginning? For the brachos in Osrichos, which is also the Yom Kippur.
Right. Right, good. So Dr. Beer asks a question. What about the concern that maybe you really were supposed to resume from where you were, in which case now you're saying brachos in vain, all the ones that you are now saying. So I would say two things. Number one, Rav Avadya's opinion is he thinks that's actually Rav Yosef Karo Shita, is go back to the beginning, number one. But number two, I wonder also whether we would view a bracha she'ena tzricha differently. We have certain areas of halacha where we say making a bracha that you did not need to make is better than making a bracha in vain. So here, if you're missing your opening brachos of Shmona Esrei, everything you do now to the end of Shmona Esrei is a bracha in vain. Whereas if you say the opening brachos unnecessarily, it's a bracha you didn't need to make. Just logically, it doesn't feel as wrong because the content of the bracha is true. I'm making it with the right intent of doing this for Hashem. It may be that I didn't need to say it because I got credit for the ones that I already said. That's not as bad as making a bracha in vain where this was an inappropriate bracha to make. You could easily, and I think I see Tova like thinking this through, you could easily make the argument, no, that this is not, that this is also, you know, they're both really in vain. You can make that argument. Nonetheless, that's...
the other argument would be that it's not even tefillah, because if you didn't put the brachos beforehand, you're not really doing the spala.
But would that make them a bracha levatala?
What's that?
So you say, let's say you were at baruch alayim, you went, and you didn't go back to the beginning, so now you're up to shema kolayim. Still, it doesn't make it a bracha levatala. It may not be a full kiyum of your tefillah, but it's still...
If I make a mistake in Mashivach Merda Geshem or Vesein Talu Matar, then the rest of those brachos are bracha levatala. Those are not bracha shenet tzricha.
Yeah, that's different than you stop. Everything you did was fine. You stopped.
Yeah.
You would take care of the patient, and now you go back to go invite there. Even if you say, it's not tefillah because you didn't do, you know, all those first. Okay. So it's still a solid.
Right, that's the argument against.
What's the magic about the fact that you can go, if it took me 3 minutes to daven Shmona Esrei, then it's okay. If it takes me, but if I took more than those 3 minutes to take a Shmona Esrei, what's the magic behind it? Where's the magic there?
Right. So Sana asks the question, I'm just repeating for the people online. Why is it that waiting long enough to say Shmona Esrei is what triggers this, as opposed to any other hefsek definition that we might have offered? And the answer is, I don't know. The Gemara that we saw the end of last time, Brachos Chaf Beis, presents it as a standard without explanation. I could theorize stuff, but I don't actually know. I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, so, there needs to be a shear, I guess.
That's true.
As good as any.
That's true, but it does seem like, I mean, where did it come from? Do we have other analogs to that? What do you mean? Yeah.
The idea that until the time it would take to finish what the mitzvah is, therefore it cancels, right? You're no longer in the middle.
But that's not the same. Because here it's enough time to say all of Shmona Esrei, not enough time to finish from where you were. You know? So what Rabbi Hachman was pointing out is that when it comes to Shechita, one of the ways to disqualify a Shechita is if you pause during the Shechita act. It's called Shehiyah. And there the definition of pausing is you pause long enough that you could have finished the Shechita. But there it's not pausing for an entire act, it's pausing for the completion of the act. I don't know, it's a good question. But I want to go to the next topic. The next topic within this is, what about making up a missed Shmona Esrei? So, not talking now about where you interrupted in the middle, but rather, you got called away to take care of some patient. Time went by. You missed Shmona Esrei because you were called away. And now you're too late, right? Let's put times on it, okay? So let's say the latest time for Shmona Esrei was, I'm going to make things up now, okay? Your latest time for Shacharis was midday. So let's pretend it was 12 p.m. You took care of a patient all the way until 12 p.m. Now what do you do? On the one hand, we have a principle that if somebody misses a Shmona Esrei, they say two the next time. right? So normally, if you have somebody who, for whatever reason, let's say a person was at a wedding on Tuesday night, and the wedding went late, and they kept pushing it off. I'll get a minion. By the end of the wedding, they forgot completely all about it. They went home, they went to bed. They wake up the next morning, I missed Maariv. So what do? You say two Shmona Esreis. Your first Shmona Esrei is your Shachris Shmona Esrei, and then you say, and you step out when you finish it, you take the three steps back, and then you start a new Shmona Esrei, and that is your Maariv Shmona Esrei from last night. You say the Shachris one twice. You don't actually daven Maariv. You say the Shachris Shmona Esrei twice, and that's your makeup. So is that what you do now? Do you daven two Mincha Shmona Esreis because you missed Shachris? Not necessarily. So that's what we need to discuss. So we, in order to understand this, I need to insert a preface. The halach of an onein. Somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, loses an immediate relative for whom they would be obligated in avelus. Until the funeral, they are in the status of onein. Barring, the body's going to Israel, not dealing with complications. Until the funeral, they have the status of an onein, in which they are exempt from active mitzvos, right? Prohibitions still apply to them, but commandments do not apply to them. So they don't daven. What happens after the burial, right? The funeral took place at 10 o'clock in the morning. They finished it by 11. Now they're no longer an onein. Now they're an avel. Do they daven shachris? The answer is no. They do not. But they missed it. So clearly not all missings of davening are the same. The onein was exempt entirely from davening, and therefore there's no such thing as making it up. The guy at the wedding was not exempt from davening, and therefore is responsible to make it up. So what's the status of medical professional? Are they like the onein that they were never obligated, or are they like the person at the wedding? Yeah. So that's part of this question, right? Jeffrey asks, maybe we invoke the principle we saw a couple of shiurim ago, osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, if you're engaged in the mitzvah, you're exempt from the mitzvah. Maybe, on the other hand, the guy at the wedding was involved in a mitzvah too. Maybe I give a bad example. So let's see what we do with this. So that's the question. That's the question.
Not the same as somebody who's not at all obligated.
Right.
You're obligated in both, but since you're pre-involved, so you don't have to get started anymore.
So let's see. Let's see what happens. Take a look at Sur Zion on the sheet. Everybody online understand? Any questions online? Nope. Okay. Yeah.
Just a distinction. I believe the onein not only isn't obligated, I think he's not even permitted.
Correct. The onein is not allowed to daven. That is correct. We'll see if that's relevant here, but you are correct. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the following in Source Zion. Oh, yes, Leah.
Does it matter if they, when they became involved, if that encompassed the entire time with tefillah or only part of it?
Hmm. So are you asking about the beginning of period or the end period?
The beginning period. We could have davened mincha at 2, but then they got involved in patient care and it ran through when they thought they were going
to
stop.
Right. So I was going to get to that later, but I will mention now because you asked and you're right for asking. In the event that in the beginning of the window for davening, let's say the earliest time for davening was, 6 o'clock. So they had an opportunity to daven then. Then yes, they definitely have a duty to do the makeup Shmona Esrei. The only question that's coming up is where the entire time that you could have davened was not available to you. That's a good point. Thank you. So take a look on your sheet, please, at Source Zion. Shulchan Aruch writes in Arachayim Tzadigimel Dalet, Ha'osek b'tzarchei tzibur. Somebody who is involved in communal issues, right? This is something that those who we're trying to convince to join a board should be aware of. Being engaged in communal issues is considered involvement in a mitzvah, and a very serious one. Somebody who is involved in Tzarchei Tzibur, ke'osek b'Torah dami, is like they are involved in learning Torah. Perush, meaning, le'enyan lamod mitocho lehispalel, as far as having to stop in order to daven shmona esrei, shagamzo, simcha hilo, sha'osek betzarech tzibur. This person who is involved in taking care of the needs of the community does not stop in order to daven shmona esrei. The whole business of the simcha is a separate discussion that I'm not going to go into right now. V'yesh mefarshim da'ainu le'inyan de'enu tzarech livsok lehispalel. And some say that principle, when we say that it's like learning Torah, means that someone who's involved in Tzarchei Tzibur does not need to stop in order to say Shmona Esrei. Now, it doesn't address the makeup issue. Just says they're exempt from stopping to daven. So there are three positions brought in the later authorities as to what that person now does. I brought you on the sheet in source Ches, the comments of Rav David Alevi, the Taz. And the Taz brings two different views. The first view from the Drisha of Yeshua Falk, commentary on the tour. And then the second one is his own view. He doesn't like the Drisha's view. So he says in Ches, O Ne'enas, he's commenting on a different section of Shulchan Aruch. You see, he's commenting on Simen Kuf Ches, not Simen Sadi Gimel. He says, "B'yoredeya simen shin mem aleph kasav b'si'if beis." In Yoredeya, the end of Yoredeya, where they're talking about avelos issues, so they wrote the following: "Demisha meis lo meis b'shabbos. If a person suffers a loss on Shabbos, b'motzai Shabbos lo yispalel. So after Shabbos is over, he doesn't daven, right? Because he's a no name. Uvaboker eino tzarich leispalel shtayim kdei lahashlim tefilas ha'erev shekvar avar zmana, and he does not do a makeup shachris the next morning. Right, this is what we already said. Velo dami leshachach velo hispalel arvis. It's not like a case of somebody who forgot and didn't daven mariv. Shem hispalel shachris shtayim, who davens shachris twice. Kevin shabalayla lo hayachayev leispalel, because at night he was an onen, he wasn't obligated to daven. Okay, that's our opening line. V'kasav sham b'sefer drisha v'zelashono. This is what the drisha wrote on that, and I bolded it. Mikan hayanera. From here it appears. Dehu hadid lemisasek b'tzarchei tzibur v'chayotzei bo bezman hatfila shapater milihispalel. He says the same thing will apply to the person who is at the board meeting. You're involved in communal needs. By the way, boards should pause to daven. Let's just be clear. Anything that I say to the contrary here doesn't matter. Boards should pause to daven. The community will manage. But he says here that the person who's involved in Tzarchei Tzibur, what during davening, is exempt for Shmona Esrei, just like the case that we gave before. Kamo shekasav hatur simen sadi gimel umitocha esek avar zman osa tefila shegamkein eino tzarech lahashlima bizman tefila shel acharei lispalel beiz. He says the person who missed it because they were involved in Tzarchei Tzibur does not do another Shmona Esrei. He was involved in something that exempted it from davening. Dimali, this is the second part that I bolded in Ches. Dimali ones da avelus o esek de mitzvah. Because what's the difference between the avelus case and the person engaged in a mitzvah? That's the drisha. Ladati kol shekenu, and he says just the opposite. I think he says all the more so. Da b'tzarchei tzibur gam kein avad avodas Hashem. He is doing what Hashem wants him to do. Avelus is a personal distraction. He is taking care of the mace, and he has an obligation to take care of the mace. This, he is just taking care of serving Hashem. Therefore, he does not have any duty to make it up whatsoever. That's the drisha's position.
Because by Aro, he was right. He said
and not eating from the carbon.
Not eating from the carbon.
Well, there they were ineligible to eat from the carbon. It wasn't just a patur, right? Although the onin is also ineligible.
Right. True.
The Taz says, "I can't believe you just said that." That's literally what he says. V'tama ani, he says, I am shocked. Second paragraph, or third paragraph, I guess, in source class. V'tama ani im yatsa devarim elu mipi oso tzaddik. He says, I am shocked at the idea that the tzaddik, the drisha, would have said such a thing. I can't believe the drisha said that. Somebody inserted that in the drisha. D'hakolshu ones mikri pater mitfila. V'kanamrinan behedya dim nenas mispalo shtayim. He says, no, because all the cases of ones, right, one situations, like you're in shul and the kid, makes a mess on the floor, right? That's an one case. That's an exemption circumstance, right? And nobody says that you then don't need to make up Shmona Esrei. He says it's not true. Just the opposite. It says explicitly, if there was an Oneh situation, in Or Chaim Kuf Ches, it says if there was an Oneh situation, you daven twice. That he says it has to be so. Vesu, and further, Dekasa Betrumas Hadeshen Simen Hei, the Trumas Hadeshen, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein. Have I quoted him before in our series? Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein is one of the great Ashkenazi poskim. I think he's 14th or 15th century in Austria. Best known for the fact that he made up his questions. In his tshuvos, he wrote the questions. So when you read something from the Trumas Hadeshen, you know that you're reading what he wanted to weigh in on. I suspect Rav Zilberstein in the Chazuke Chemed does that also. I don't think his questions are real questions, but the Trumas Hadeshen, this is my question I'm dealing with. So the Trumas Hadeshen dealt with the following case: B'misha haya tarud etzel hapakid machmas chov. You have a guy who was dealing with a debt matter with the non-Jewish governor, non-Jewish officer in the area. There was no way he was getting out to Davin unless he was going to lose his money. He wanted to claim a debt, and if he leaves, he's not getting the money. And while he is engaged in this conversation, Shmona Esrei comes and goes. Demikri ones. So the Trumas Hadeshen said that's called ones. Avagav demachmas mamonhu. Even though it was for his own money. You know, I don't know how many rebbeim I had over the years who would say, you have trouble getting up in the morning for minyan? What if somebody promised you $1 million? Right? We've heard this from rebbeim. Someone promised you $1 million, you'd be able to get out of bed. Shachris is worth so much more than $1 million. Every second you wear tefillin is worth more than $1 million. And so on. That's the Musar Shmuz. So he says here, missing Shmona Esrei for financial reasons. He says, umispal achar kach shtayim. He says, it's called ones. It is a justification for missing it, but you have to daven Shmona Esrei twice. So that's the Trumas Hadeshen. So the Taz says, Harei lecha behedya, you see explicitly, afagav dayapater ba'osa shah shal tefila machmas tirda demikriones, granted that he was exempt from davening because he was tarud, he was distracted, he needed to make sure he didn't lose his money. So that's called ones, but he has to daven again. He has to daven, not again, he has to do a makeup. V'adinami pater machmas tirda de mitzvah shal tzarech yitzir, where the same thing is true. If somebody is distracted by communal needs, d'chol ikar tam osa ha-tshuva de trumas ha-deshen him itam d'chashiv kumo tirda de mitzvah v'imkei nistra das bala drisha bazei. He says, look, the trumas ha-deshen equated the guy getting his money back with somebody who is distracted in pursuit of a mitzvah. He said the guy who is trying to get his money back has to daven Shmona Esrei twice. So too, the guy who misses it for a mitzvah, like the Tzarchi Tzibur case. That's the position of the Taz. And he says, Ve'ein dimyon, last paragraph in Ches, Ve'ein dimyon bazel leptur da avelos. Don't compare this to the avelos case. Da hasam efshar lo lehispalel. The onein could daven. Da hayoshe batel, he's sitting there doing nothing. Right? We don't assume that he's spending all of his time on getting the grave ready. Ella shachachamim patru. The chachamim said, we don't want you to daven. He's sitting there with his sitter. He's got his tefillin bag. He says, I want to daven. And they're telling him, too bad. You can't daven. So v'alkein ein shayach sham tashlumin. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say to him, now you have to do a makeup. I wanted to do it the first time. De'ein zemikri ones ella patur. That's not an ones case. That's an outright exemption. Mashein kein kan dehu ein bo patur ala shiyesh olav ones. This guy's not potter. He just has an ones circumstance. That's a different story. That's a different story. So we have two positions so far. The Drisha's position is, we haven't talked about doctors yet, right? We haven't talked about medical professionals yet. But the Drisha's position is, if you're exempt because you're involved in communal needs, there's no need to do a makeup. The Taz's position is, yes, you do need to do a makeup. Rav Avram Gambiner, the Magen Avram, sides with the Drisha and says no makeup. The last view, I didn't bring it on the sheet, the Prima Gadim, he says, I'll tell you what to do. You do a Nedava. This is the classic cop-out answer. The answer is, we have a machlokes. The Drisha says no makeup. The Taz says do a makeup. So do a voluntary Shmona Esrei. A Jew has the option of saying Shmona Esrei voluntarily, even though they're not obligated, so long as they come up with some new thought when davening Shmona Esrei. You have to have some new request, something new that you didn't have in your previous Shmona Esrei. Not that you never had in your life, but you have to have something new to say. That's a justification. So what you do is you say, look, in the event that I had to do this makeup Shmona Esrei, it's my makeup. If I didn't have to do the makeup Shmona Esrei, then it's a Nedava. I'm adding some new thought. We don't like people saying Tefillah Nedava Stam, because really to justify doing this, you have to have real Kavana. Right? If you're going to get up to God and say, I'm not obligated to the Shmona Esrei, but I really feel like it, and then you spend the entire time thinking about your shopping list, that was not a good thing to do. Right? Tefillah Nedava requires serious concentration. Yeah.
He's saying that when you do a mitzvah, you're potter because you're tarred in the first mitzvah, so you're not going to be able to concentrate for tefillah?
Specifically tefillah, yeah. He's saying that the reason why you are exempt when you're involved in a mitzvah pursuit is because of the distraction issue. It's not an osek b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah thing, it's a distraction issue, so it appears. There's more to say about that, but yes, I think it's safe to articulate it that way. So the Nishmas Avram, which I referenced for you on the sheet in source test. It's page 134, 135 of the PDF. And again, for anybody online who doesn't have access to the Nishmas Avram, make sure that you're on the email list for this, because every email that I send out, I include the link to download the Nishmas Avram PDF. So we're in Siman Sadi Gimel, Sifkatan, Beis. So he brings the different views here. He says, Lehispalel. Vafilu miyabur zman atfila im ein sham mishi yishtadal elahu. He's talking there about interrupting your davening in order to take care of the patient. And he says, that's what you do, even if you'll miss davening. Ve'eno tzarek lehispala mincha shtayin bishvil tashlumei shachris. You do not need to do mincha twice to make up for shachris. Shekeven shebisha'as chovaso haya patur mimena min adin. Since at the time of your obligation, you were exempt. There's no need for a makeup. And he says that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So far, so good. But ulam b'makom acher, but in another place, hevi a Mishnah Berurah b'shem aprim egadim d'nachon shegam bazeh yispal acher kach lahashlem atfilah shechasr alo. He says in another place, the Mishnah Berurah brought from the prim egadim that in fact you should do another Shmona Esrei. Ach baze yispalal osa b'taras nedava v'yicharish b'davar. You should do it as a nedava, as a voluntary Shmona Esrei, and have some new thought in it. So he brings the other view that you should do the nedava. Then he quotes you the Taz. V'taz kasav shechayiv b'tashlum min adin. He says you are obligated. Ulam ha'acharonim pasku she'eno tzarech litfilas tashlumin. The acharonim rule, you do not need the tashlumin. Behema ha'prisha, drisha, shach, magen avram, eliyarabba, birke yosef, and see the kafachayim. So the upshot of it seems to be, and this is the psak that he records elsewhere as well, no tashlumin. There is no makeup. The doctor who spent the entire time doing this medical mitzvah does not do a makeup. Yeah.
But he also, I think he points out right afterwards, it's only if it's
that's where I'm going next. That's where I'm going next. It's actually, did I even reference it separately? No, I didn't. But yes, the rest of this is the point that was asked before that Leah asked online. All of this is where he started to do this, whatever it was that exempted him, before the earliest time to daven. Avalim hiskalis asek achrei zman atfila. But if he only started after the time for davening, chayiv b'tashlumin, then he has to do a makeup. V'lachein, and therefore, he says, rofei shehiskal anateach, the doctor started surgery, oliros cholim b'mirpa'aso, or he started seeing patients in the clinic, achrei zman hamincha, after the time for mincha, v'lo gomar ad sha'avar zman tfila, meaning after the earliest time for mincha, and he didn't finish until mincha slot was over, chayiv lispal arvishtayim, then he has to do two maribs. V'adin l'gabit v'el shachris v'arvis, and the same thing is true for the other davenings as well. Yeah?
And if you schedule your day that way, that's still considered an onus?
If you schedule...
knowing that you have scheduled from 4 o'clock straight through till 6 o'clock, and right. Zman is going to be over at 4:30.
Right. So the answer is yes, it's an ones, but no, it's not a good thing to do. The it's in that moment you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. But no, you're not supposed to put yourself in that position overall. That's a big big discussion in halacha, much broader than this specific issue, of people who put themselves in a position in which they will now be in an ones situation. And yeah, the general principle is ones, but you're supposed to avoid that in advance.
As a clinician, I can't see how that could happen. There's always a way to take. You got 5 minutes to go to the bathroom. They don't let you. You're allowed to go to the bathroom. So you take your 5 minutes to daven mincha. The problem I have, of course, is that it rolls to fourth.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I think there's the difference between a clinician and a surgeon.
Of course.
Or a hospitalist.
What I'm saying. As a clinician, I can't see how you can. The only way I get into this problem
is. I'm not a doctor, but everything to me is like I'm thinking emergency. You can't control when an emergency can happen.
Right.
So we're not talking about a clinician. The clinicians can find the time.
Right.
Anybody who.
There are different, medical practices.
Any neurologist can find the 5 minutes in order. You can find, unless you're operating. You can find the 5 minutes. My problem is it rolls to 4:30. I said, "Oh my!" And I got to do the Tash Lumen because I can slap myself in the face and say it's 4:30.
Right.
It was just 12. Right. It was 4:30.
So this leaves us though with one question that we have not yet resolved, and that is, what about for women if we're dealing with Mariv? And the reason why this is a question is because it's not so clear what women's relationship is with Mariv. And this is going to take us into an area that we're not going to have time to do tonight, but it will take us into the question of, in general, what is the Torah's mitzvah of davening for women? Which requires that we also ask, what's the mitzvah of davening for men? Both of these, you know, kind of go hand in hand. So I'll show you just source Yud, where we have a Mishnah in Brachos which says, Nashim va'avadim uktanim peturin mikriya shema u'minat tefillin v'chayavin b'tfila mezuzah birkas hamazon. I'm not going into the whole discussion here. Avadim uktanim is a fun discussion. All the other mitzvahs are a fun discussion. Why these three are in a set is a fun discussion, none of which are we going to do right now. My point is only to say that it says women are obligated in Shmona Esrei. And the Gemara comments on that and says, but isn't it a time-bound thing? And the Gemara's answer is, Rachmi Ninhu. It is about asking Hashem for things, and everybody needs to ask Hashem for things. Which is a nice answer, but it doesn't really speak to the issue. What does that mean? Are they exempt or aren't they exempt? So what we're going to see, God willing, in 2 weeks, because again, next week is the special shiur on dementia, but what we'll see in 2 weeks is the view of the Rambam, the view of the Ramban on the mitzvah of davening Shmoneh Esrei, and how that applies to women, and therefore what will happen if a woman misses mincha, does she daven Mariv? Does she daven Mariv once as a makeup? Does she daven Mariv twice as a makeup? Is there no makeup? Is makeup a chakras? Like, we have to figure out what exactly happens there. And then we'll have one other topic that I think fits in within this, which is the issue of, and I guess this goes back to Rabbi Havlam's question, starting medical treatment before the time of davening. Setting it up, knowing that it's going to take you out of it. So again, it is a broader topic, but we actually will discuss that to some extent. And then we'll move on from that, God willing, to talk about eating before you daven, you know, during a shift. That's also an issue. Okay, so yeah, next week is Zoom only. So, and you can come here with your computer if you want. Okay, thank you very much.